He's Jody McDonald. I'm Glenn Mack now, and I go on my Twitter page, and I it's the second half of summer, and there it is. I see Brian Baldinger. He's touring NFL camps, posing with Denver Broncos cheerleaders. Pretty nice life. We bring in Odyssey Insider, Brian Baldinger. Baldy, how are you?
Hey, Glenn. Jody, it's good to be with you. I'm doing great.
Where are you now?
Well, I'm in New York here. I got to spend the day with the Giants tomorrow, so I'm just got back from Denver. And ready to launch another week of camps. Maybe one of these teams will actually put the pads on and actually. I haven't seen that yet.
Okay, you know what? Then I wasn't going to start there, but it is a huge issue that is discussed. And the guys on our station who are former players, guys like John Ritchie, guys like Ike Reese, they're really offended by this, by how. There is no hitting, by how the walkthroughs are 58 minutes long. There's a green day, a yellow day, a red day. As a guy who played in this league for a while, I mean, you had a career and now has covered this league for even longer. Is it too soft? Is it problematic?
Well, I think it leads to a whole new set of injuries because you got to condition a body to the contact that you get on Sundays when you're actually playing the game. So, I agree with everybody that you just mentioned and some of the complaints. I have some of the same. However, we're coming off the greatest postseason any of us have ever seen. Yeah. And the game might never have been more entertaining. And while I kind of like the old school, I understand the need for safety in a lot of different cases. So I think there's a balance there right now, Glenn, and they're trying to walk that balance, but it does take away from some of us of what we went through. I mean, Ike and John and those guys, their first week of training camp was very similar to what I went through. It was pretty brutal. It was 2 days. It was long. It was hot. It was physical. But then once you got through that, you really conditioned the body to the hitting and really didn't see a lot of the injuries that we see now.
Mm-hmm. Baldy, I just got a text here from Josh Allen, the quarterback from Buffalo, not the defensive end from Jacksonville. He said, "Tell Baldy I disagree that last year's postseason was the most exciting."
Right on time, Jody.
That's Josh. Baldy, I do want to ask you about quarterbacks, though, because coming into this year, I've been following the league a long time, much like yourself, I've never seen quarterback situations like what we have. An MVP who doesn't want to negotiate a contract extension. The highest paid quarterback guaranteed money in the history of the league. We don't know if or when he's going to play this year for the Cleveland Browns. A team that's got just 4 years removed the number one overall pick in the draft, the number three overall pick in the draft, and nobody thinks they've got a quarterback in Carolina. And the whole Kyler Murray homework clause to his contract. This is the weirdest quarterback offseason I've ever seen in my life. How about you?
Well, it was as drama-filled as we've ever seen. And the quarterback carousel drove really 3 months of the offseason. And where these quarterbacks, I was just in Denver yesterday and watching Russell Wilson in a Bronco uniform. It still looks odd to me. It isn't for him. He's loving every day of it right now. But, yes, it drove the entire offseason. But we also saw the last 2 years, Jody, the Super Bowl winners were led by quarterbacks who led their teams that they were quarterbacks of for a decade or two decades, in Tom Brady's case, Matt Stafford's case, where they led their team to a Super Bowl. And now teams believe that if you get the right guy in just one offseason, you could be hoisting the Vincent Lombardi trophy.
True.
And so that's a big part of it, is if you can get that guy, if Denver can get Russell Wilson with the defense they have and a good coach, maybe they could be the team that does it next. Not to mention, what Justin Herbert looks like, what Mahomes has done, what Josh Allen can do. It's a good era for quarterbacks right now if you've got one.
Brian Baldinger is our guest. Follow him on Twitter at BaldyNFL. His stuff during the season, breakdown during the seasons are just absolutely must-watch stuff. All right, so we're talking about the quarterbacks, and of course, let's bring it back to the Eagles and Jalen Hurts. And the biggest question this franchise has moving forward, I don't know if you can answer it, but do you think that Jalen Hurts has the talent to take his game to become a top-tier NFL quarterback, a second-tier NFL quarterback?
I know he has what it takes, Glenn, to improve and to get better, because that's how he's wired. He wants to be coached. He believes that he can take another step. The talent around him got better. They had one really legitimate wide receiver to throw to last year. Now he's got guys that in A.J. Brown that are better than anything they had on the field last year, and Devontae should get better. And so I think they're better around him. I just think certain things that he's got to correct in his game, and that is, you know, just the urgency to leave the pocket and to scramble and become a runner. I think he's just got to stay in there and trust the protection, trust the routes, trust the receivers are going to win the routes. And that means, you know, staying in there an extra tick or two at times. And I think if he could do that, that will show improvement. And then there's just certain throws you got to make in this business. I mean, when you get to the red zone, every place I've been to four camps so far, almost every single team so far, their first real live period right now is red zone, where, you know, are you kicking field goals or scoring touchdowns? Because if teams are dropping eight players into a zone coverage at the five-yard line, those windows are so small, and the throw has to be so tight and so specific. And said, in fact, watching Russell Wilson yesterday at the end of practice, he had a whole special period just himself when guys were walking off the field in the tight ends, just throwing those kind of routes in, you know, from the five-yard line. And so they were terrible last year when they got to the goal line, just awful. They didn't know what to do. And they could have won two or three games last year if they'd converted. And so that's a couple of different areas where I think Jalen can really improve his game, where if he does, he's going to take that next step.
Baldy, I want to stick with the Eagles and go to your area of expertise, well, which is basically everything, but even more so because you played it, and that's the offensive line. A whole bunch of people, yours truly at the top of the list, have said the Eagles have the best offensive line in the National Football League, my opinion. And they've got a nice mix of it, veterans like Kelce and
Lane.
And on the other side, youth with Mailata and Dickerson. Isaac Seumalo seems to be the only question mark. Is he going to be their right guard? Will they look to go with a younger guy there? I think it's a non-starter. I think Isaac is unquestionably the choice there if he's healthy. Is there a competition at right guard for the Eagles this year?
Well, I think Jack Driscoll had a great offseason. I was around him a lot. He's a lot bigger and stronger than he ever was. He's almost up to 330 pounds. And so, you know, you're trying to replace, you know, an all-pro in Brandon Brooks, you know. And so I think there's a competition there.
Okay.
But I think Isaac is, he's a proven commodity. He's very smart. He can play any position on the offensive line. He almost has played every position on the offensive line. You got to allow him to play himself back into shape after missing a lot of time last year. And, he lost a lot of weight in the offseason. He's gotten a lot of it back. But I think if Isaac is healthy, he's going to be the right guard. And as a group, they can certainly be as good as anybody in this league right now. I don't think that there's a better run-blocking offensive line. And, as far as pass protection, it just depends on really the timing and the trust with the quarterback and the offensive line, how good they could be. But they could be as good as anybody. Their talent is supreme. Landon and Jordan Mailata are as good as any young tandem on the left side in this business right now, and they're extremely well-coached by Jeff Stoutland.
Yeah, that they still have Stoutland, and everything he's done in this franchise is just great. All right, we got Baldy. We'll just take a couple more minutes from you. Maybe try to sneak a question about the other teams in the NFC East. I know you went up to, or you are, I guess, at the Giants camp, where Brian Daboll is going to try to make something more out of Daniel Jones. Can he do it?
Well, you know, I was there last week for a day, and, you know, they were in their second day of practice, and you know, it's 2 days, no pads, but, like, you know, they had their starting offensive team on the field. You know, Kadarius Toney, Kenny Galladay, the starting five offensive line, Saquon's healthy. I mean, that's just encouraging. Mm-hmm. Brian Daboll is this doesn't really sound like a football term, but he's a delight to be around. He's a very upbeat guy. He's very positive. He really, I think, has a plan. Just watching practice, there's a plan by what everything they were doing in practice. He's got a really good, young, talented general manager in Joe Shane. They look like they're putting it together the right way. I like their coaching staff. I always have liked Wink Martindale as their defensive coordinator. I met Evan Neal for the first time. You just don't see people like that kind of size, walking the planet.
Yeah.
He's never missed a start ever. high school or college. And here he is walking to the right tackle position. They look better everywhere you look as a team. And, you know, so, but they're very, very young. And, you know, they got to put it together and see how quickly they can come together and actually demonstrate that on Sundays is to be determined. But I think they're going to be a lot better than what we've seen over the last, say, 5 years.
All right, Paulie, I'll follow up Glenn's question with NFC East quarterbacks. If Carson Wentz is the same exact quarterback he was last year for the Colts, this year for the Commanders, will we be talking about Carson Wentz joining his fourth team in the last 4 years at the end of this year?
Well, that's kind of hard because the whole team tailed off in the last 2 weeks of the season after they'd beaten the Arizona Cardinals on Christmas night, and they looked like they were going to be a lock to be in the playoffs, and then Carson didn't play well against the Raiders or Jacksonville, but the team didn't either. I hope Carson takes a step up. I know he worked with the Hall of Fame quarterback this offseason. I hope some of that transfers and he recognizes some of the fundamental flaws that he has in his game. And I think if he really pays attention to those flaws and really works on it during training camp and beyond, I think he could be a better player. And I think the Washington Commanders will be a better team as a result.
All right, last one. When we last saw the Cowboys, they were being humiliated, embarrassed again by the 49ers in that game. They've also lost to Amari Cooper since then. I guess my question is, you know, the Eagles have to get over that loss to Tampa, but I think the Eagles were kind of just happy to be in the playoffs. The Cowboys have bigger goals. Does that game against the 49ers, is there danger for the Cowboys that leaves an impression?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was, like you said, that was embarrassing. At one point, it was 23-7 into the fourth quarter of that game. It wasn't even a game. San Francisco physically whipped them at the line of scrimmage. And I think Dallas saw that. They drafted Tyler Smith from Tulsa in the first round, trying to shore it up. But that was a big problem. They could not run the ball against San Francisco. Dak Prescott couldn't drop back and effectively throw the ball. Their number one receiver right now, CeeDee Lamb, caught one ball for 5 yards in that game. So, you know, there's real issues there. In fact, Zach Martin, their best offensive player, said going into training camp this year, I can't wait to find out what our identity is going to be. I don't think they have one. I don't think you can say that they're going to be a great running football team. I think Amari Cooper is a big loss. I do know this. Defensively, I think they're very good. And they led the league in takeaways last year. Their defense scored 8 defensive touchdowns. They're built on taking the ball away and splash plays. They might have the most talented defensive player outside of Aaron Donald in the league and Micah Parsons. So they're well coached and they got a lot of talent on that side of the ball. But I think offensively, there's some real question marks about this football team.
Actually, Joey, I know you wanted to ask about the Bucs, right?
Yeah, I did, but instead, okay. I'd rather go here because Baldy did mention that he got to see Evan Neal and didn't know humans could get that big. We got a couple guys like that on the offensive line here in Philadelphia. And your ex-mates are the biggest of the big, unless we're talking about Jordan Davis. Have you been able to get close to him and see how big he is and how big a deterrent he could be for the opposition this year on Eagles' defensive line?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they actually have a uniform that fits him, Jody. You know, that's encouraging. But, you know, you just watch him just bounce around the field. And, you know, here's a guy that if he keeps his weight under control and he learns from some really veteran guys and Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham, the guys up front, that he could be a real force. I actually believe that his best position is right guard. Like, I think he could be a perennial Pro Bowl right guard because of his size and ability and the coach that's there. They're not going to do that, but I think that he can make an immediate impact early in the season with his natural size and athletic ability.
Well, Brian Baldinger, it is always a pleasure. I mean, and when it comes to the voices, the top people I respect, their voices and opinions on the NFL, you are right there. Follow him on Baldy NFL. He is our Odyssey insider. Baldy, where's after New York?
Well, I'm seeing both New York teams here. Monday and Tuesday, I'm going to Buffalo. And then I believe Arizona, the Chargers, the Cowboys, Seattle, and San Francisco, and then the Raiders.
Nice tour.
It's going to be a good week this week.
And by the way, Buffalo, the first week of August, is exactly the right time to be there, my friend.
Yes,
Having grown up there, I know this. Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks so much for joining us.
Yes, I'm looking forward to seeing him.
Right, Baldy, thanks, buddy.
Take care. There you go. Brian Baldinger, our Odyssey insider. Smart guy, Jody. Really smart guy.
His video breakdowns are as good as there are anywhere. NFL Network, ESPN, CBS, you name it, his are as good, if not better, than anyone else out there.
Yep. 215-590. Got to start right here in broadcasting at 94 WIP.
Yeah, I remember Baldy doing
did a post game years and years, no, pregame show, excuse me, years and years and years ago. Like soon after I started with you, Angelo hosted the pregame show. I was on it. Baldy was on it. I don't remember who else, but I remember whenever Baldy spoke, I would just kind of like shut up because he really knew what he was talking about. It's like, yeah, I'll just let him go.
You sit there and nod your head, go, yep.
No disagreement. Baldy, I see it exactly the way you see it. What do you think?
Very good. I like it.
Okay. So here's the deal. And by the way, 215-592-9494. I know we've done a lot of stuff. We haven't invited a lot of callers. We would love to hear from some callers now if you want to talk about the Eagles in training camp. And you've heard everything we've discussed about Jalen Hurts and where that's going to go. And our conversation with Baldy if you want to talk about the Phillies win last night or the trade deadline. 215-592-9494. And we even have a $50 gift card from our friends at Scheib Vintage Sports for the best caller of the day. Check out their throwback apparel at their Center City location or at scheibsports.com. Okay. We need to cut a new open, Jody, which could include what we just had, which was tremendous. Mosh did that yesterday. Great job by Mosh.
Correct.
Because I've been playing that same comeback for about 15 years, and I think we need a new open that doesn't have The Fugitive and Caddyshack and, I don't know, maybe Breaking Bad. But I put out the call yesterday and got some response. And Jody, if you do, I don't know if you did, but if you would put out on social media, looking for kind of the most iconic movie and TV lines, what do you think, 21st century on? Last 20 years?
That would work for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved Caddyshack, but it came out 40 years ago. Got to freshen it up. And we got your name in it. I'm going to do two. I did one for Saturday with Mike, one for Sunday with you. And my plan, by the way, is to do what we're watching whenever one of us has something. So if you say to me, I'm watching a new show and it's really good, we'll do it on Sunday. If Mike's got something, Saturday, me, whatever day it is. So I want to keep this going with everybody getting their opportunity to do it. So that said, I didn't watch anything new this week. Did you watch anything new this week?
Not really, no.
Okay. All right.
Too much Phillies action. For me to go. And if you're going to find something new, it used to be the summer was a wasteland. You and I are both old enough to remember when network television signed off in May and couldn't wait for late September to roll
around
because the new season started. All you got all the summer long were reruns. But now with all the streaming options and whatever, there's new shows 52 weeks a year.
Right. So what I am going to do today is, in lieu of watching anything new, last week, if you remember, I gave you my favorite new shows of the first half of 2022, meaning they were all in their first season.
Right.
So now I'm going to give you my top five shows that I've been watching this season that are not in their first season. Got it?
Okay. All right. So
you probably watched a bunch of these.
Right.
Okay. Ozark, which finished and was great. You didn't like Ozark?
I think I told you this before. I gave up on it. I watched two seasons and just lost interest.
Yeah, well, I can't tell you to go back and watch it. Everybody's got their own taste. But
not going
to
happen.
Well, that's fine. And I loved Ozark, and I loved the way it ended. I thought it was a really good final season.
I'll believe you.
I am very much into the last season of Better Call Saul.
Oh, tremendous.
Yeah. Although I thought the one with Carol Burnett this week was just kind of filler. I don't know if you watched it, most recent one.
But that's part of what makes it great. It goes off on these little side trails that you're really not sure where they're going, but it's still intriguing just the same. And working Carol Burnett in, I thought, was phenomenal.
It was a good standalone show. I hear you. I think I'm like waiting for Walter to show up.
Yeah.
And I thought, like, oh, this will be the week. And they just kind of stalled it. But, yes, in and of itself, it was very good TV. But we do agree, great show, worth watching.
Phenomenal. Odenkirk is one of the best actors in the last 10 years on any through any vehicle, movie, or television.
Now, somebody asked me the question. They said, listen, I did not watch Breaking Bad. Would I enjoy watching Better Call Saul? What do you think?
Yes, not as much.
That's what I said.
If you watched, it just adds to your enjoyment of watching Better Call Saul. If you've been prepped for it by having watched Breaking Bad, you will understand the little references and the nuances more so. But certainly Better Call Saul standalone is an outstanding show.
That's exactly what I said. I said, you'll enjoy it. It's a really good show. You would enjoy it more if you invested in Breaking Bad. But again, it's a big investment. Breaking Bad, I think, had 60-something episodes. Better Call Saul, probably the same. So starting from the beginning on both is a bear. But okay.
I would have even thought they'd had more. 60, you sure?
Of which one?
Breaking Bad.
I think it was like between like 63. I'm not positive. I would have thought
more like 80, but okay.
Okay. Show not in its first season that I love, and I don't remember if we discussed this. I love Only Murders in the Building in its second season on Hulu.
Yeah,
Steve Martin, Martin Short, Selena Gomez.
Oh, really? That one?
Oh, I love that show.
Is it good?
I love that show.
You should
start season one, because there's only season two, and I think season one, Tina Fey is in it. Sting has a little cameo in it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That
can I give you a little? It's a great little scene.
Sure.
Sting is on the elevator with his dog. And Martin Short just thinks the dog is cute, and so he starts walking the dog, and Sting says, "Don't stand so close to me."
Very good.
It was a great little moment. Hopefully I didn't ruin it for you. I don't know. I hope you would like that show. It's quirky.
Okay.
It's quirky.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. And I think Steve Martin and Martin Short are great. You should watch that on Hulu. Second season. Okay. Second season show I just finished, Hacks. Did you watch that at all?
No.
Okay. You familiar with it?
No.
Okay. So is Hacks,
is it about cab drivers?
It is not at all. And when I first saw it, I thought that's, I'm going to watch a show about cab driver, which I would. Hacks is a show. You know who Jean Smart is, the actress?
Sure.
She was in Mayor of Easttown as the mom.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So she plays a Las Vegas comedian who was always hot. It's like a Joan Rivers kind of character who was always big, and suddenly her career is really declining and she's losing, gigs, and it looks like it's over for her. And she hires a young writer. The actress's name is Hannah, I think it's Endbinder. She is the daughter of, remember Lorraine Newman way back on SNL?
Sure.
Yeah, this is her daughter. She's the actress. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's essentially Hannah Endbinder is supposed to make Jean Smart relevant again. But it's got a lot more than that. The relationships are good, and the storyline is good, and it's fast. Half hour, 6-8 episodes, boom, you're done. Watch Hacks. Second season, really good. I'm glad. I'm having fun telling you this.
Good.
All right.
Yeah, but I'm not going back and watching
Ozark. That's fine.
Yeah,
that's okay. That's okay. This one's easy. Ted Lasso. Everybody
when
knows
is that,
that
coming
show.
Back?
Well, season two. It had season two.
I mean, yeah, season three.
Oh, season three, I don't know. I watched season two this year.
I missed both seasons. Both had already been well released when I finally got it because I didn't have that. Which streaming service are they on again?
Apple TV Plus, maybe?
Apple. Yeah, Apple.
They are on
I didn't have Apple, but my daughter, because of her job responsibilities, gets Apple for free.
There you go.
If you get Apple, you can have two or three that join in, blah, blah, blah. So I got Apple, and when I did, probably on yours and her recommendations, the first thing I did was go back, and it took me like 3 days to get all of both seasons done because I couldn't turn it off. It was that good. I'm very much looking forward to season three.
It's great. So season two I watched this year. Did you watch Barry on HBO?
No.
It's good. So Bill Hader plays a hitman who wants to be an actor. That's the basic setup. And he can't get away from his life as a hitman, which he is trying to do. Henry Winkler plays his acting coach. Henry Winkler, by the way, is great in this. Very good show.
All right,
HBO.
Only thing I will say is, yeah, I watch enough HBO, so I've seen all the commercials, promotions, whatever you want to call them. Did nothing to move me.
Okay.
Didn't suck me in. That's what you got to do with those things, right? Suck someone in. They watch for, oh, my God, how did I not watch this before? Yeah, did nothing to suck me in.
So I follow on Twitter the guy who's the TV critic for Rolling Stones named Alan Sepinwall. Okay. And he wrote like a week or two ago that last year, 2021, there were more than 600 scripted shows on TV. And as a TV critic, there's no way he can follow them all. So I appreciate that there are so many shows on TV. And because we do this, I'm sure you get people all the time, oh, you got to watch this show. You should watch this. There's no way I can watch all of them.
Right.
And you're right. If you watch the preview for it and you come away going like, then you're not going to do it. I like Barry a lot. I recommend it.
Okay.
Am I done? I think that was... Oh, one more. One, I guess this was more than five. But here's the last one, and it's not a scripted show. It's a food show. Stanley Tucci Searching for Italy on CNN. You familiar with this?
No.
Stanley Tucci's the actor, right? You've seen him before.
Well, hold on. Did you say CNN?
It's on CNN, yeah.
They got a food show on CNN?
It's a travel food show.
Oh, that justifies it.
So, Stanley Tucci is an actor.
I like Stanley Tucci. I think he's an outstanding actor.
He's an outstanding actor. And by the way, people have told me that occasionally I look like Stanley Tucci, which I'll take as a compliment because other people told me I look like Jason Alexander. So I'll take Stanley Tucci in that
I'd take Tucci.
Agreed. Right. So Stanley Tucci is of Italian descent. And Italy has, I forget exact number, the way the United States has states, Italy has 31 provinces, territory, I don't even remember what it's called, right? And so each week on the show, he goes to one, like he goes to Lombardy, or he goes to Sicily, or he goes to whatever, and he goes to a different section of Italy and eats. And you get to watch him eat. He'll go to restaurants, and he'll go to farms, and he'll go to, you know, every markets. And the food is astounding. And what I would say to you is you cannot watch this show like if you're hungry, right? You got to like eat dinner and then watch the show and then feel like, oh, my dinner wasn't as good as what he's eating. But it's great. And he's really entertaining. He's got a great personality. And these people he finds in Italy are fascinating. And I've been to Italy once in my life. You ever been to Italy?
No.
Okay. I've been there once. I so want to go back after watching this show, and I like write down the places he's been to and say, like, okay, I got to go to this part of Italy and go to this great restaurant. So Stanley Tucci Searching for Italy is great.
All right, two questions. Number one, did he contemplate using drive-in diners and dives does Italy as a title? Was that ever contemplated? Because that's what it sounds like to me.
It's that... But he's much more charming than the guy who does drive-ins, diners, and drives, and whatever.
That's.
But it's kind of. It's the same format, which is going to a lot of places.
He's got some of the greatest hair ever on television. I give him his
most
props.
Memorable. I'll give you that. Yeah.
All right. And the other one was: does Stanley Tucci ever reference Wolf Blitzer?
No. Because of that.
Well, then why is it a CNN show? How do you
CNN
do something on CNN
I don't know.
Reference Wolf Blitzer?
How can I answer? You know, by the way, since you mentioned Wolf Blitzer, that he was my summer camp counselor when I was
young.
I
never heard that.
Yes, camp. Wolf is a Buffalo guy. And when I was a kid, we went to summer camp, a camp called Camp Lakeland, which I was distressed. I looked it up on Google a year ago, and it no longer exists, which I was very sad to hear that.
Sorry.
But my counselor was a guy named Wolf. And like 20 years ago, a friend of mine emailed me, and he said, you remember our counselor, Wolf? I said, yeah, I remember him. He goes, yeah, that's Wolf Blitzer. And I was like, yes, it was. That's right. And it was Wolf Blitzer. Anyway.
I've never heard that before.
He was a very nice. He was a nice guy. He was a teenager. So like I was... 10, and he was probably 18, 19. He was a very nice guy.
I believe that. And so there, I thought he had to be mentioned on every show on CNN. That's why I thought Stanley Tucci had to work him into some kind of Italian recipe. And Wolf Blitzer instead would use real tomatoes instead of these processed ones.
You would like this show.
All right.
All right. Last thing I want to tell you, then we got a call or two on hold. I want to get the call. because it's what we're watching. Jody, between October 21st and November 5th, if you find your way out to the Players Club of Swarthmore, I will be in the play Clue. I auditioned, and I got the role. Very good director, Mike Sokolowski.
Whoa. It's not Anthony Sanfilippo?
No, because it's not a musical.
You're doing a play without Sanfilippo?
I know. Amazingly, another director hired me.
You're such a cheater.
No.
You're cheating on Sanfilippo.
Cheater?
Shame on you.
Well, I didn't want to do the singing and dancing this year.
Okay.
So I auditioned for Clue, and I play the role of Colonel Mustard.
Very nice.
Do you remember the movie Clue? Did you watch that movie years ago?
Years ago, yeah. I don't remember it, but I remember watching it.
Yeah, anyway. So the board game turned into a movie, turned into a play, and I'm going to be in the play late October, early November.
When is this?
October 21st through November 5th.
Okay.
10 performances, Jody. I'm going to try to get you out for one.
Yay or nay on Halloween?
No on Halloween.
Oh.
No. It's
me out of the house. I wouldn't have had to do Candy Patrol. You're killing me, Mac. Now
it's Thursday. I mean, the date. It starts October 21st is a Friday, so it's like Friday, Saturday, Sunday the next week. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday the next week. Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Okay.
So anyway, tickets available at pcstheater.org, and that's it. I'm looking forward to it. All right, let us work in Jeff on a cell phone. Jeff, what's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning, fellas. I'm driving back from Pittsburgh. I was at the Phillies Pirates game last night.
Nice.
And I got to tell you, the Phillies fans, they traveled well, and everybody behaved. Ranger was really sharp, and we wound up sitting behind Corey Knebel's wife, and it was a lot of fun to watch her at the end of the game, especially after that pickoff move.
Very nice.
Oh, I bet.
Yep. So great place to watch it.
I read the story today that Knebel said he's been trying that move his whole career. It's the first time it actually worked.
Yeah. But in any event, I was just kudos to the Phillies fans the way they travel.
I'm watching the game, and I know the NBC Sports Philadelphia is going to be looking for the Philly fans, but it seemed, Jeff, almost it was like 50-50.
It was. It was kind of nice because they were. Yeah, the Pirates are sort of a sorry team, and they weren't really rubbing it in. It was all good.
When the first baseman threw the ball away in the 10th inning, cheers aplenty.
I know.
It was absolutely a 50-50 split as far as you could just tell.
Yeah, and then they had a big fireworks display afterwards. It's a great place to go watch a game.
Oh, that's a ballpark.
I was going to ask you about that ballpark, and I've been there. It is one of the nicest ballparks in baseball.
Yep.
Agreed.
You do the thing where you walk over the bridge past the Clemente stat. It's nice.
Yep. All good.
Last question for me. When Nick Castellanos struck out, and I think he left six guys on base yesterday, I heard those boos on my TV. Tell us how that sounded in the stadium.
So especially in the first inning with the bases loaded, that was kind of painful to watch. I said I was there with my son. I went out there to help him move. I thought I'd aged out of that, but apparently not. And
never do if it's your son.
Yeah. And I said, Castellanos just kind of looks lost up there at the plate. He's kind of flailing away. The off-speed stuff was killing him.
Yeah. Well, good for you. It's nice to go to other ballparks when your team plays, and that's a great ballpark. And you got to win. So well done, Jeff.
Yep. All good.
All right,
guys.
Thank you very much. There you go. 215-592-9494. Jody McDonald, Glenn Mack. Now, don't forget Dick Vermeil at noon. The coach is going into the Hall of Fame next week. We will ask him about that and other things. Jody McDonald, Glenn Mack now on 94. He's Jody McDonald. I'm Glenn Mack now, 94 WIP, 215-592-9494. All right, Jody, I need your opinion on something which I trust you. Your knowledge of this way beyond mine. Your Philadelphia 76ers are being investigated by the NBA in terms of the recruitment and signing of James Harden and those players after him. They could potentially be fined. They could potentially face the loss of draft picks. I can't imagine it would go anything beyond that. But when I saw that, I thought to myself, when did the NBA become diligent about this sort of thing? So I come to you, Jody Mack, and ask you, what the hell's going on?
Well, first things first, they were allowed to quote unquote tamper with James Harden because he was their property. The last team was before he opted out and became a free agent was the 76ers. So they could have been talking to him throughout. So there's absolutely nothing there. Might they have talked to P.J. Tucker before he became an official free agent? Oh, yeah, I'm sure they did. Like every year in the NBA.
Thank you.
Where tampering goes on in season, leading into free agency. The next year, players are allowed to do it, but teams aren't. This is a big nothing burger. I don't see any way the NBA can take any action. Now, there is at least rumors and aspersions being cast that there's a wink and a nod deal between James Harden and the 76ers, that he would play for that much less this year, and it's $15 million from what he could have opted in at, what he eventually signed for, $14 or $15 million. That's a big hometown discount, and just to let your team have more flexibility to sign free agents, which the Sixers took advantage of and did just that. We'll see a year from now if he signs a new, longer-term, well over $50 million jump-up type deal. If he does, and those who have asserted that this is the case here, they'll be proven right. If he doesn't, then they were making it up as they go along. I would be surprised. I don't think Daryl Morey is that kind of committed. I know he's got a great relationship with James Harden, and he played it to its max to put themselves in the best situation they could this year. I don't think he's promised James Harden anything past this year as far as a extended contract goes, because he signed for one more year, but it's a player option. So he could opt out, and you're back in the same exact situation you were. If Harden re-signs here for over $50 million, I would be very surprised.
Okay, so, I mean, I don't know where this comes from, because whenever I've... The NBA is the one league where it seems to me this happens all the time, right? And I know now they have, like, the legal tampering part of things or whatever, but, like, hey, a guy's a free agent, and 20 minutes later he signs a six-year, $150 million deal. Like, wow, yep. Boy, they agreed to that pretty fast. Guess they didn't talk when it was illegal. And there's always, I know LeBron with Bosch and Wade to Miami, and then with Davis to LA is like players colluding as opposed to teams. So I guess that's different. But I'm looking at KD, the Warriors, and Harden to the Nets. And like now they're going to investigate PJ Tucker and Daniel House. I don't get where this comes from. Like, suddenly the NBA cares.
Yeah, I think, and I do believe that, because Harden did something that very rarely happens in the NBA. A still viable player took significantly less money to return to a team, and at least on the surface, it looks solely for the reason of giving the team more money to play with in free agency. That does kind of stick out like a sore thumb, but the whole tampering, they got no leg to stand. That happens all the time.
That's what I thought. All right.
You're right.
Okay. Question. Because I like to work all four teams in every show. So let's do the Sixers and then we'll figure out what to say about the Flyers. I don't know what to work in, but I do promise to work them into every show. The Sixers right now in better shape than they were at the end of last season?
Yes.
Closer to the Celtics?
Closer.
Okay.
Have not caught the Bucks either. Would say I Miami kind of surprised me last year, and that's because Spoelstra is such a good coach that he takes different pieces and makes them work and fit as well as anybody does in the NBA. He's probably the best coach in the NBA right now, but I think the Sixers have a better roster than Miami does.
Okay. And this assumes that the Celtics don't get Kevin Durant, which is one of the rumors that's been going on the last week.
And it makes some sense if it does. Jaylen Brown plus that. Here's the only reason why I don't say, oh, my God, the Celtics have to do that. Tatum's game and Durant's game are very similar. And they're both phenomenal. They're both top 10 players in the NBA. How do you not want to get two top 10 players and play them together? Well, unless they basically play the same game, which those two guys do. So if the Celtics do that, it will certainly raise the overall talent level of their game. But then Emi Udoka is going to have his work cut out for him because his two best players basically do the same things.
Yeah, how would you like to be a Brooklyn? Yeah, it is Brooklyn. A Brooklyn Nets fan about these days.
Oof.
Yeah, right.
That's
All right.
And
Flyers.
If they trade Durant before Kyrie, Durant goes, but you still got Kyrie. Ow.
Right.
That would be hard to be a Net fan.
Well, you got Ben Simmons. All's fine.
Ooh.
I don't know if he'll ever play. Okay. The Flyers made a couple minor deals this week. I still, again, I promise to work him in every show. I have no hope and faith at all in the Flyers whatsoever and the direction they're going, other than the fact that the new coach intrigues me. Do you got anything other than that?
Yes. Here's why it was a good week for the Flyers, Glenn.
Oh, well, hey,
yes,
good.
Absolutely. Nobody got hurt. Seems like every week somebody gets hurt with this massive injury.
No lower body injuries.
Them out for months and months and months. What do you mean we're not even playing? How'd a guy get hurt when they weren't even playing? No, it was a good week. Nobody got hurt.
That's what that franchise has become, Jody McDonald.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. All right, coming up, it's going to be a big honor. We're going to talk to Dick Vermeil, former coach of the Eagles, Super Bowl coach with the St. Louis Rams, next week, headed to Canton to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We got him here next on 94 WIP with Jody McDonald, Glenn Mack now, 94 WIP. Donald Glenn Mack now on 94. He's Jody McDonald. I'm Glenn Mack now, 94 WIP, 215-592-9494. All right, Jody, I need your opinion on something which I trust you. Your knowledge of this way beyond mine. Your Philadelphia 76ers are being investigated by the NBA in terms of the recruitment and signing of James Harden and those players after him. They could potentially be fined. They could potentially face the loss of draft picks. I can't imagine it would go anything beyond that. But when I saw that, I thought to myself, when did the NBA become diligent about this sort of thing? So I come to you, Jody Mack, and ask you, what the hell's going on?
Well, first things first, they were allowed to quote-unquote tamper with James Harden because he was their property. The last team was before he opted out and became a free agent was the 76ers. So they could have been talking to him throughout. So there's absolutely nothing there. Might they have talked to P.J. Tucker before he became an official free agent? Oh, yeah, I'm sure they did. Like every year in the NBA.
Thank you.
Where tampering goes on in season, leading into free agency. The next year, players are allowed to do it, but teams aren't. This is a big nothing burger. I don't see any way the NBA can take any action. Now, there is at least rumors and aspersions being cast that there's a wink and a nod deal between James Harden and the 76ers, that he would play for that much less this year, and it's $15 million from what he could have opted in at, what he eventually signed for, $14 or $15 million. That's a big hometown discount, and just to let your team have more flexibility to sign free agents, which the Sixers took advantage of and did just that. We'll see a year from now if he signs a new, longer-term, well over $50 million jump-up type deal. If he does, and those who have asserted that this is the case here, they'll be proven right. If he doesn't, then they were making it up as they go along. I would be surprised. I don't think Daryl Morey is that kind of committed. I know he's got a great relationship with James Harden, and he played it to its max to put themselves in the best situation they could this year. I don't think he's promised James Harden anything past this year as far as a extended contract goes, because he signed for one more year, but it's a player option. So he could opt out, and you're back in the same exact situation you were. If Harden re-signs here for over $50 million, I would be very surprised.
Okay. So, I mean, I don't know where this comes from, because whenever the NBA is the one league where it seems to me this happens all the time, right? And I know now they have, like, the legal tampering part of things or whatever, but, like, hey, a guy's a free agent, and 20 minutes later he signs a six-year, $150 million deal. Like, wow, yep. Boy, they agreed to that pretty fast. Guess they didn't talk when it was illegal. And there's always, I know LeBron with Bosch and Wade to Miami, And then with, what's his name, Davis to L.A., is like players colluding as opposed to teams, so I guess that's different. And, but I'm looking at, like, you know, KD, the Warriors, and Harden to the Nets, and, like, now they're going to investigate P.J. Tucker and Daniel House? I don't get where this comes from. Like, suddenly the NBA cares.
Yeah, I think, and I do believe that, because Harden did something that very rarely happens in the NBA. A still viable player took significantly less money to return to a team, and at least on the surface, it looks solely for the reason of giving the team more money to play with in free agency. That does kind of stick out like a sore thumb, but the whole tampering, they got no leg. That happens all the time.
That's what I thought. All right.
You're right.
Okay, question. Because I like to work all four teams in every show, so let's do the Sixers, and then we'll figure out what to say about the Flyers. I don't know what to work in, but I do promise to work them into every show. The Sixers right now in better shape than they were at the end of last season?
Yes.
Closer to the Celtics?
Closer.
Okay.
Have not caught the Bucks either. I would say Miami kind of surprised me last year, and that's because Spoelstra is such a good coach that he takes different pieces and makes them work and fit as well as anybody does in the NBA. He's probably the best coach in the NBA right now. But I think the Sixers have a better roster than Miami does.
Okay. And this assumes that the Celtics don't get Kevin Durant, which is one of the rumors that's been going on the last week.
And it makes some sense if it does. Jaylen Brown plus that. Here's the only reason why I don't say, oh, my God, the Celtics have to do that. Tatum's game and Durant's game are very similar. And they're both phenomenal. They're both top 10 players in the NBA. How do you not want to get two top 10 players and play them together? Well, unless they basically play the same game, which those two guys do. So if the Celtics do that, it will certainly raise the overall talent level of their game. But then Emi Udoka is going to have his work cut out for him because his two best players basically do the same things.
Yeah, how would you like to be a Brooklyn? Yeah, it is Brooklyn. A Brooklyn Nets fan about
oof,
these days.
Oof.
Yeah, right.
That's
all right.
And
Flyers.
If they trade Durant before Kyrie, Durant goes, but you still got Kyrie. Ow,
right.
That would be hard to be a Net fan.
Well, you got Ben Simmons. All's fine.
Ooh.
If I don't know if he'll ever play. Okay. The Flyers made a couple minor deals this week. I still, again, I promise to work him in every show. I have no hope and faith at all in the Flyers whatsoever and the direction they're going, other than the fact that the new coach intrigues me. Do you got anything other than that?
Yes. Here's why it was a good week for the Flyers,
oh,
Glenn.
Well, hey,
yes,
good.
Absolutely. Nobody got hurt. Seems like every week somebody gets hurt with this massive injury.
No lower body injuries.
Them out for months and months and months. What do you mean we're not even playing? How'd a guy get hurt when they weren't even playing? No, it was a good week. Nobody got hurt.
That's what that franchise has become, Jody McDonald.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. All right, coming up, it's going to be a big honor. We're going to talk to Dick Vermeil, former coach of the Eagles, Super Bowl coach with the St. Louis Rams. Next week, headed to Canton to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We got him here next on 94 WIP with Jody McDonald, Glenn Mack now, 94 WIP.